John 1, verse 2. And, okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for this book, Lord, that magnifies the deity of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, now that you bless your word this morning. I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit and help me, Lord, to teach it in power and authority and just direct every word I say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John 1, 2. I'll start reading verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we went through that last time about the capital W-O-R-D and it's either the message or in this instance here, it's talking about Jesus Christ. And the writers, when they write it, they're talking about the message contained in the Bible, not the small W-O-R-D, words. Okay, and within verse 2, the same, talking about Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay? The same was in the beginning with God. In Genesis, in the beginning, turn to Genesis, and it says, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heaven and earth. So Jesus was there. And Jesus really is the one that done the creating. He's the one doing it. Now, how do you know people say that this one God, they are this one God, but he's in three persons? And there are a lot of ways you can prove that. And one of them is the pronouns that's used here in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and so on. So, he said us, so that means there's more than one there. It's talking. Okay, that's the Trinity. They're one, but they're three. Three and one in three, and one in the middle died for me. 3:22, look at it again. Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand, take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. So on after he fell. But he said, us. And also in 11:7, same thing. Turn to Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, of the Lord, see, singular, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Us. That's plural, more than one there. So that's talking about the Trinity there. Okay, turn to Hebrews, and we'll see who made the worlds. Hebrews 1:2. New Testament. Said the same was in Genesis, John 1 said the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, by Jesus. See, all things were made by him. Was not anything made that was made. So Jesus done it all see, it's all connected to the Trinity, and they're all the same, and it's just hard to separate them. Hebrews 1:2. Well, let's start reading verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom, I'm talking about Jesus, by his Son, also he made the worlds. So Jesus Christ made the worlds, plural, this world and all the other worlds out there, all the other planets and stars and all. 11:3, look at it again. There's a lot of verses on this. 11:3, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's a small W. That's the spoken there, see. He spoke the worlds into existence, see. Now, he says, so that things which are seen were not made of things, and so on. That's something else. Okay. Now, compare this to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 5. 3:5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. It says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word, by, that's the way it come apart, way these things, way the heavens were were by the word of God. The word of God's the one that created the heavens and earth. All right? Now, God spoke the worlds into existence by saying. Now, we'll look at two more verses on this. Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. Start reading verse 15. Talking about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, talking about Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So, Jesus Christ is the one. Now, one more, Psalm 33, and we'll be finished with this part. Psalm 33:6. Psalm 33:6. Talking about the same thing. Talking about the word of the Lord. Small W. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them. By the breath of his mouth. See? The words he just spoke. When he spoke, the world came into being. Like if I said, there's a piano. And then that piano there all of a sudden appears because I said that. Of course, I can't say it, but God can, and that's what it happened. And that's the way he did it. Okay, back to John. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, that's physical life and spiritual life. All of it comes from Jesus Christ. And this it's not connected, but I seen this the other day, and I want to show it to you if I can find it. Turn to Zechariah, and it's talking about abortion. It's kind of getting off of what we're talking about here, but I was reading through there, and it's another verse on it's another to prove that abortion, that life is Zechariah chapter 12. Life is in the womb. This proves that life is in the womb. Zechariah chapter 12. Get that in one hand, get James 2 in the other hand. 2:26. Zechariah 12:1. We'll read it first. Zechariah 12:1. So the burden of the word of the Lord of Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. So the Lord forms the spirit of man inside a woman when she gets pregnant. God's the one that does that right there. I actually say, yeah, but that's the argument about that is, well, that's not, that's still, that's just That's not the soul, you know. That's not breath of life, you know, and so on. All right, it says, formeth the spirit of man within him. Turn to James, James 2. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. For as the body without the spirit is dead. When that spirit leaves, then the body is dead. All right. Now, that's like the breath. That's a definition of life right there. The life comes from the blood. Life of the flesh is in the blood. There's oxygen in the blood. Man became a living soul. So all that stuff, is just showing that say there's oxygen in the bloodstream, and that goes into the baby. So from ever since Adam, every baby has been alive when conception. So ain't no question about that now. About when, to me, I mean, right there, what that makes it clear right there that's life, and that's a living soul and spirit and body in that womb at conception. Yeah. Since that baby went to, that baby didn't do nothing to sin.
And that person was committing murder.
The child died because of Adam's sin. I mean, that's where death comes from. Because of Adam, in Adam all die. But if Jesus Christ died for his sin, so if that baby can die for somebody else's transgression, then he can go to heaven because of somebody else's death, Jesus Christ. So without actually committing an act of sin himself, he still died. So without receiving Jesus Christ himself, he can go to heaven. So it's all that's clear. Bible says, "Shall not the God of all the earth do right?" Yeah, he will. Or the judge of all the earth do right? He will. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say, then somebody right away said, what about if a woman's raped? Well, God take care of that.
Yeah.
Ain't man's business, see. He said, what about the woman's life? Well, there's a woman, Rachel died in childbearing over yonder. So, God's the one that handles that situation. Now, that's a hard thing to do, you know. Say, my wife, you know, there, and they say that the baby in there, they call it the fetus, either going to have to be killed or your wife's going to have to be killed. Well, if you're trusting in man and his doctors, then what you going to do? I mean, if you're going to kill the baby. If you're trusting in God, you're going to let God take care of it.
And he's not going to kill you before your time, right? I mean, even if they say that.
All things work together for good. See, it's easy to say this. And what I'm saying, it's easy to say this and talk about it. And you know what the Bible says about things like that, but it's hard to do it.
Even if they say that, that may not be true, though, right? Because God don't want you to die, then even though the doctors say that, you're not going to die.
You're not going to go, right. Yeah.
You still got to go back to that situation we thought about a few weeks ago.
What's that?
About the baby getting
formed
in the wrong place in that little tube.
Well, that's another thing. God, see, who
are
you trusting in, man or God?
But then, where does the Lord expect you to bring in the common sense?
Well,
you
trust in the Lord. I don't know. That's like I said, it's hard to do, but if you trust in God, don't you think God can take care of that situation?
Well,
I know He can.
Now, I mean, really, what about the other stuff? What about the...
She's talking about the baby being born in, what do you call it?
In the fallopian tube.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, why not depend on the Lord about the insulin then? I mean, these people that the courts take their children away from them because of their religion, and they won't let the children take insulin. Now what about that?
That's two different situations, but
no.
Why go to the doctor at all?
No, it's still not.
Why go to the doctor at all? I like I said, I ain't got all the answers, but that's not killing the baby when you take an insulin.
That little 13-year-old girl here in Charlotte, her parents, she was taken away from her parents because she was dying because they wouldn't let her take the insulin shots.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I thank the Lord I'm not in that situation.
I don't think I want to.
All I'm saying is life. That's what it says. And if you got enough faith to you know.
Well, see, that's the.
I don't know. Okay, let's get back to John. I certainly got off on that, silly. Okay, John 1:3. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the light. Look at 3:19. John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus is the light. He came in the world, but they're going to love their self, and they're going to love their sin, and want to love the gratifying of their flesh, and want to love their own filthy wickedness, you know, instead of Jesus Christ, because they love darkness more than light. This colored guy over where I worked was come in there, and there's several of them joking, you know, and said something about black is beautiful. And I said, black is sin. And he said, look out now. I said, talking about me. I said, black is sin. Bible says, I lost it. Now I can't quote it. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Like the second, I'm looking for trying to find the first part of the verse. Darkness is black, and deeds are the sin. See, so their deeds are evil. So that's where you get sin is black. And really, there's a verse over there somewhere that says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Scarlet's a bright red. Sin, blood red. Life of flesh is in the blood. The reason you die, because your blood's no good. See? Maybe that's where that comes from. That's what that's saying, probably. Okay, John, back to John 1.
Is scarlet bad?
Scarlet, red. That's the color of sin.
Well, okay. Can I get off just a little bit?
Go ahead.
Okay, in Proverbs 21, it says, for all of our household are clothed with scarlet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's clothing. That's not... I don't mean... That's just like black. It doesn't matter who wearing a black suit.
Oh, okay.
See?
Just clothes, though, but
yeah.
Scarlet itself.
It's just talking about the color of sin. There ain't a lot of saved black people. They ain't got nothing to do with, you know, they don't, just because they're black don't mean they're sin. They're sinners, except that they have all of sin come short of the glory of God. I mean, they can be saved, see. Just like anybody can. John 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Jesus is the light, and... He was shining in darkness. Lights, now, like I said before, light's made up of three rays. And each ray has its own function, and it's like the Trinity. Each ray has its own function, but they all one. The invisible light It's neither seen nor felt, and that's likened unto the Father. There's a light that you can see out there now. That's likened to the sun, that you see him. And then there's a ray that that's not seen but can be felt. That's likened to the Holy Spirit. So that's the world shows you. The world shows you. In Romans? Let's see if I can find that right quick. Romans. The invisible things are, I believe it's Romans 1. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. The Godhead is seen from the you can tell what the Godhead is by the Son. See? Everything's a Trinity, just about. Okay. John 1:5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. It's talking about John the Baptist here. That's I'm talking about John R. Rice.
That's his word.
That's in the book that they had wrote on. That's who they liken that to. But that John R. Rice ain't got nothing to do with this. This is John the Baptist.
I never heard of
him. God always uses men. He usually takes a man and uses it to accomplish whatever he's wanting to accomplish in different times. He never used committees or deacon boards or nothing like that. He uses men. And he used men all the way through history to accomplish whatever he was going to accomplish, whether it's to preserve the Word of God or whether it's to preach or whether it's to get any kind of a movement. He used Martin Luther for the Reformation to pull. He didn't use a committee. He used Martin Luther, see. Calvin. Zwingli, you come on down through history and men like Spurgeon over in England. Come on down in the United States over here. Use men like the Southern Baptists when they started off. They were straight, and then liberalism got in there, and I can't think of the guy's name now. Out there in Texas that had the two...
Norris.
J. Frank Norris. He used J. Frank Norris to expose the liberalism all in the Southern Baptist Convention. And from him came the Independent Baptist splitting off of that. And they come back to the Word of God. And he believed the King James Bible was the Word of God. And just like now, they got all this liberalism in the Independent Baptists. And I believe God used Dr. Redman as an instrument to show the corruption in the Independent Baptists. Mm-hmm. And the unbelief and liberalism done got in there. Everything goes downhill. We'll go through this and let me get this right here. Find it. It's in my notes here. It uses a man, then usually there's a movement. Then it becomes a machine. When it becomes a machine, then it's then messed up. The first two, you can go with the first two. But the last ones, you can't go. You got a man, a movement, machine, and then a monument. Monument, something you put over a grave. It's dead. And then you've got evangelism, education, which is all right. And then you come to culture and apostasy. And when you get to culture, you messed up. And there's two more. And I thought I had them here in these notes in between the testaments. Oh, here it is, yeah. It's the way of all ministries. All ministries go this way. Everything goes into apostasy. It's de-evolution, just like everything's going downhill. It's tearing up, breaking up. Same thing with spiritual things. You got preaching, teaching, culture, apostasy, and paganism. And the first two's all right. You got a man, a movement, a machine, a monument, and paganism. You got evangelism, education, culture, apostasy, and paganism. You got soul winning. You got an institute. Then you got a college, a university, and paganism. So the first two is all right. But then when you get past the first two, then you just the devil's done got in there and done messed everything up. Okay, back to John. John 1 and verse 7. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Okay? John bear witness of a light, of the light, rather, capital L-I-G-H-T. Just like verse 8, he was not that light, capital L-I-G-H-T-S, that's Jesus Christ, but was sent to bear witness of that light. All right? He reflected, you remember when Moses got real close to God, when they probably got the Ten Commandments, when he came back down, his face shone. He was reflecting the light of God. The moon reflects the light of the sun, excuse me. And everybody should reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Everybody ought to be a witness. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That's your commission right there. You're supposed to witness. I don't care who you are. You're supposed to be a witness. If you can talk, or if you can't talk and you can use sign language, then you can be a witness. You can tell somebody else how you got saved. People are dying, going to hell. You're going to run into 25 people every day if you go around any people that's lost and going to hell. And you can talk to them. You can be a witness. You say, well, I just don't know how to say the right things. You can say what God asked God to give you something to say, and then say it. You can say it. You can talk about everything else, so you can talk about Jesus Christ. See? So, all right, back to the same came for a witness. He reflected the light. It says, I got a verse up on my wall, John. John 3:30. Yeah, talking about John the Baptist. Says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And of course, doctrinally or historically, John's ministry decreased and Jesus Christ increased. But spiritually speaking, we're as people supposed to decrease and Jesus Christ supposed to be magnified and everything. And that's what that verse is for. So the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, not through anything else, through him, through Jesus Christ, might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist wasn't Jesus, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Okay, we better stop right there for next week. Okay, you just dismiss. If you got any questions.